nutshell, gluten is actually a protein found in all grains. And to say gluten is kind of like saying car. There are a lot of different varieties of gluten. There are hundreds of different types of gluten that we've identified. And the most popular one for celiac disease is the alpha-gliadin, which is a certain structure of gluten that's found primarily in wheat, and that's the one that's been shown to incite damage to the gastrointestinal tract. But all grains, by definition, do have a gluten protein. It's actually the storage protein found in the seed of the grain.
And what do you mean by storage protein?
Well, all grains are basically seeds, and inside the seed we have an embryo, and inside the endosperm of that seed we have glutinous protein, which its job is to keep that embryo to sprout. So it's stored so that the seed may grow as a result of taking that protein and utilizing it to grow.
And what happens when we cook grains? What happens to that protein?
Well, some of it is damaged, but not all of it. Gluten is actually an alcohol-soluble protein, so it's not really broken down by heat as well as some of the other proteins. So glutens tend to stay intact with cooking of foods.
And how about fermentation?
It'll stay intact through fermentation as well. Although some research has cited or said that we can lose some gluten during the fermentation process. This is not 100% true, as seen when we ferment things like wheat to make beer. Of course, the gluten stays intact and still impacts the individual.
So gluten, when we eat gluten, is it gluten itself that's damaging us, or our inability to break down that protein?
That's a fantastic question, and one that's under a lot of research and scrutiny right now. There's several mechanisms at work, and this is why a lot of the lab tests that we run for gluten sensitivity are not very accurate, or will come back oftentimes falsely negative. One of the mechanisms behind the damage of gluten is that the actual protein itself, gluten or gliadin, is recognized by our immune system as an antigen or as a foreign invader. And so it stimulates the immune system to respond by creating antibodies. Antibodies are these structural proteins that will bind to gluten and try to render it or basically get rid of it. And so the side effect of producing an antibody is we form something called an antigen-antibody complex. And this antigen-antibody complex will dismantle the gluten, but at the same time will create collateral inflammatory damage to tissues that are near it. And the other thing that we can do, and that actual reaction is what we call a Th2 immune reaction. Th referring to T helper. T helper cell type 2 has an immune reaction whereby we make an antibody to a substance the body doesn't like. And then we also have what's called a Th1 reaction. And this reaction is where we produce inflammatory chemicals in a response to try to get rid of the gluten. So we would make something called tumor necrosis factor alpha or interferon gamma or other chemicals that are basically designed to create inflammation to get rid of whatever that inciting antigen might be.
I'd like to get into more detail on that. Are you saying that everyone is sensitive to gluten? Everyone has this antigen effect?
No, that's just one of the types of effects that we've identified. So when we're doing a test like, say, an anti-gliadin antibody test, we're measuring the antibody production against gliadin, which is the name of the gluten found in wheat. So that test is really only specific for wheat, and it's only going to be found positive if the person has an active antibody response to wheat or is actively producing those antibodies.
Yeah, but my question is, does everyone have this response? I mean, because from what you're saying, it sounds like gliadin in wheat causes this response, but does it do it in everybody? Is
generally,
it an antitoxin to our body, or... Okay.
Again, that's something that doesn't have there's not a direct answer. I can say it like this. The more we study it, the more we find it's becoming more and more common. Several studies have shown that the onset of gluten sensitivity has doubled or quadrupled in the last 10 years. So there are a lot of answers that we don't have. So I'm not going to say that everybody has this response, but let's just go back in time. About 20 years ago, we thought that it was as rare as 1 in 10,000, 1 in 20,000. Then some studies came out and confirmed that it was much higher. It was 1 in 133. some new studies came out and said it was much higher. It was actually 1 in 3. And now some doctors have some research that are saying that it's as high as 40% of the general population. So although we can't really say that everybody has this response, we can see that the value continues to increase the longer we study it. Now, and I want to go back just a minute, too, because that was the immune system response to gluten or to gliadin, to be more specific. But then you have all these other secondary kinds of responses. So one of the things that you touched on a moment ago, which was, you know, is it an immune system response or is it the inability to digest? So let's talk about that inability to digest component.